Here we go. The cycling season is almost upon us. It is getting pretty exciting. I know that a lot of you have already been doing some kind of event or race already out there enjoying the sunshine. Many of you have already taken your trips to places like Mallorca and Lanzarote to get that pre-season training in. That is the sign that the cycling season is here, and we are looking forward to a really, really successful one and a long-lived season. And that means staying at our peak performance of fitness and staying injury-free. So today we are continuing our series on the recovery side, because this is where performance is made and also injury is prevented. Now, the reason why recovery is so important, we put so much emphasis on it, is because when you do your workout, you are essentially making a little bit of damage into your musculoskeletal system and your metabolic system, and the recovery allows your body to build back stronger. Remember that podcast where we talked about catabolic versus anabolic metabolism. Now, if we have too much recovery, we mitigate any benefit that we might have done from doing the workout. Not enough recovery, and the accumulated damage and fatigue adds up to injury. So finding this balance is really the skill of a coach and an athlete working in partnership. It really does require an athlete to be honest about themselves, which is why the last podcast, if you haven't listened to that, was all about the signs and symptoms of recognizing when you need further recovery or some recovery. Today, then, I want to talk about the why, what it is that's actually going on and what we can actually do about it. Now, we see the need for recovery probably in two ways as athletes. One is our muscles are sore, and two is you just don't feel ready to perform. So the reason why your muscles might be sore, muscle soreness, or even DOMS, the delayed onset of muscle soreness, there's a couple of theories here, probably both true, is at some level you have a series of very small micro tears that are happening in your cartilage, in your muscles, and that needs repairing. And there's a process of repairing it through the use of amino acids and proteins and that anabolic metabolism that we talked about before builds back your body stronger. It helps your body. It triggers your body to know that I need to be bigger and stronger than I was in order to avoid this damage. So it builds back stronger. The delayed onset muscle soreness, the most current thinking about it, is actually a little bit of associated swelling with that process that then puts some pressure onto the nerves, which creates that really sore, like I can't walk up the stairs the next day sort of feeling. Now, that's definitely what we feel. That's what we're trying to repair. The other thing is that diminished capacity to move glucose from the bloodstream into the muscle cells. Now, this is, as an athlete, we just feel that as, oh, I feel like I've got heavy legs, there's no power in them, there's no energy there, just feel tired. But essentially that is what's happening. And as you're fatigued and your body's repairing itself, your ability to move that glucose from the blood into the muscle takes longer, which is why we talked about that 3D scanner in the last episode very, very briefly about being able to actually monitor your muscle glucose, not your blood glucose levels. And that's probably one of the biggest tells, if you like. That's what we're trying to do, is to help that process go. And we're going to talk about the nutrition side of how we can help that later. The other thing is, obviously, there's actually some metabolic byproducts in there. So mostly lactate is the common one, but also some proteins that some protons that have helped in actually firing your muscles are still floating around, and they need to be processed and removed and held up by your digestive system and liver, etc., and just moved out of the way to enable that recovery process to happen. So that's essentially why. How we do that is essentially what we call active recovery. We can't just lay down on a bed and let recovery happen. We need to do something a little bit more active than that. We don't particularly want to do any more damage, don't particularly want to burn more kilojoules or add to our training load, but we do want to stimulate that recovery. So you can't just lie down and do nothing. So zero fatigue is almost impossible, but as close to zero accumulating fatigue at the same time stimulating enough recovery response to accelerate that process, if you like. And some of the key things in is what we're really trying to do is, one, make sure that our mobility improves or stays the same, because all those little tears are going to restrict some of your mobility. Your muscle will want to contract and protect itself, which is why mobility over time, if you don't stretch, etc., gets diminished. And we know this, you know, when we were a kid, we used to be able to bend over, touch our toes and raise our, you know, put our legs behind our head and all that sort of thing. And as we've become an athlete, you know what it's like after a really hard race or a really hard training session, that you becomes harder to move your limbs around and be fully mobile. And if we don't do anything about that, your body goes into like a protective mode and it just gets worse and worse and worse. So we have to move our body, which is why we always go on about the benefits of something like yoga, because yoga is such a simple way to get moving. It's great. You can just not just switch your brain off, but you can just listen to like the calming voice of an instructor talking yourself through the movements. They'll have their eye on you, you know, making sure that you're protecting your back and all that sort of good stuff. At the same time, you can just immerse yourself in that process of letting your body move, which is awesome. Pilates, if that's not your thing, is a slightly harder version of that. It might be a little bit too energetic, or even just doing your own stretching routine, but really moving your body. And there's quite a lot of technique involved in all of this. When you speak to someone like our strength coaches here, the mobility really is a skill that they honestly teach. It's not just a case of doing a few stretches that your PE teacher taught you at school. There is some really technical movements involved in taking your body through the full range of movement that your body should be capable of. Okay, on top of that, what we're really trying to do is to promote blood flow, because for that anabolic repair process to happen, we need blood in there, because blood is carrying the things that your body needs to repair itself. It's carrying those amino acids, it's carrying oxygen, it's carrying those nutrients, carrying the building blocks which are going to help that and take away those waste products. And just sitting on a bed with a low heart rate doesn't help that at all. So our recovery has to have enough activity in it that our capillaries will open, our heart rate will elevate a little bit, our respiratory rate increases a bit, but not so much that we're then doing another workout. So it's not really a recovery ride, because a recovery ride is essentially an easy training session. A recovery session just needs to achieve these things without adding to the training load. Now, this idea of promoting blood flow and oxygen saturation is really popular right now with following such as the Oxygen Advantage and the Wim Hof method. It's all really about breath work and getting oxygen, that restorative oxygen, into the parts of the body that really, really need it. And, you know, what Wim Hof says is just quite incredible. I would probably suggest to go and just read it. I'm not going to recite him here. And the same with the Oxygen Advantage book. It's really is extolling the virtues of how important oxygen is to your body. And because your body needs it, you know, not just for creating energy, but it also needs it in that repair process. And there's some pretty compelling evidence coming out about how patients and people with chronic illnesses are benefiting from increased blood flow and increased oxygen saturation in curing these things as well. So that's definitely worth a read. I'll try and put some links to those books. But this isn't something that's completely new, because breathing practice, especially in yoga, has been around for a long, long time. So we've kind of known about it, but probably only recently is it really getting more of a scientific investigation, I'd say. So breathing practice, it also just really helps settle the mind. It's just, if you haven't done a yoga session that involves breathing, I'd recommend it. It's a bit, It is quite spiritual, don't get me wrong. It's not for everybody, but the benefits are immense. And stick with it, because it feels great afterwards. Doing some really good quality breathing exercises, it feels amazing, and it's definitely worth your attention. Other things then that will really help with promoting blood flow and oxygen saturation, therefore, are things like cold therapy, cold water immersion therapy. We up here in the Lake District, cold open water swimming has become immensely popular, but you'll quite often see things like ice baths appearing now on at the end of events, definitely in physiotherapy clinics, that sort of thing. It's got some real good scientific background. Even just having a really cold bath or putting the shower on cold and really stimulating your legs with cold water is going to be doing something. Again, it stimulates blood flow, that those capillaries are going to close up and open again. And in that process, that's stimulating oxygen movement and blood flow that's going to help remove those toxins and at the same time promote blood flow, promote oxygen into where it needs to be. There is research around this is more around the acute recovery, i.e. the short term, like straight after a race, assuming you haven't done any long-term damage. There is conflicting research, I'd say, about the chronic, the more long-term benefits of cold water immersion therapy. Again, if it's something that really helps you, then stick with it. There's an awful lot of really key mental health benefits that go along with cold water immersion therapy, not just about blood flow and everything else. Also down this route, we have the idea of using of cuffs, which I personally really like. It's something that I can really get on board with. I'm not really a fan of diving myself into cold water, but using the knees or big leg cuffs that you then connect up to like a cool box full of water and an ice. And that for me really works, that compression and cold water. I like that. It's sort of getting the cold water immersion therapy where I need without the massive shock. You know, maybe I'm just a bit of a wimp. Things like saunas can definitely help. Again, anything that's going to get from that hot to that cold, that sauna has to be combined with going into cold water. Again, the Scandinavians have been on top of this for a long, long time. And compression to a degree can help in certain situations as well. It's the compression sock, etc. Definitely some people help. It's something that seems to be coming out of favor a little bit, but some people really, really benefit from that. Again, if it really helps you stimulate blood flow and oxygen saturation, then great. An obvious one here is massage. And we're going to be doing loads more on that in the next podcast, where we're going to be joined by a special guest who's going to talk about loads more about not just sports massage, but quite a lot of actual therapies that you can have done onto you, if you like. And so far on this podcast, we've talked about things that you can do at home on your own to help promote recovery. The things that a sports therapist can help you with is very different. They can get a little bit deeper into your muscles. They can, yeah, there's some really, really clever techniques that I'm not going to discuss here. That is for next week's podcast, which I think you'll find fascinating. So nutrition then. Massive, massive, massive. We've talked before about fueling your workout, nourishing your recovery. And remember that amino acids really are the building blocks of life. And without amino acids, we can't really help to have any of this recovery take place. Now, obviously, amino acids are found in meat and dairy. Easy to tick that off if you're a carnivore. If you're a vegan, it can be quite hard, but if you're a vegan, you're probably also very aware of your need for proteins like this, and you'll be aware of things like quinoa and hemp seeds and chia seeds, which can be pretty good substitutes for that amino acid need. So there's no reason why not. You just need to be thinking an awful lot more about it. But also remember, you can't just neglect your carbohydrates, because remember at the start when I talked about the need for muscle glucose levels have been depleted and the need for you to move glucose from the blood into the muscles as quickly as you can to get that recovery process going. Now, if you're not consuming carbohydrates in your recovery, then that process is going to take even longer. Which is why when you look at proper recovery drinks, I'm not talking about muscle building protein, but like recovery drinks, you'll see that they're, of course, they're high in protein, but also they have carbohydrates in there, and they say consume it within an hour of doing that exercise. And that is really, really important, that mixture of easy absorbed carbohydrates that can start working their way back into the muscle, and also followed up by that protein to start rebuilding it, it's crucial. And a good quality recovery drink at the end of a workout, and I mean literally have it pre-mixed, ready to go, as soon as you finish, straight down. Especially if you train late at night, by the time that you've maybe driven home from the gym or whatever, started dinner, you're already too late. Yeah, recovery process needs to be finished as soon as you finish your workout. So as soon as you've pressed stop on Zwift or whatever, that protein shake needs to be in your hand and start consuming carbohydrates. If you ever use one of those blood sugar monitors on your arm, and there's some podcasts that I did on this a little while back, actually there were live streams, I think, and where watching the blood glucose spikes, you know, the second I finished my workout, obviously during the workout, my blood sugar would diminish. But then as I stopped, I saw that blood sugar shoot back up as my body was now processing and trying to replenish it. But then it started to go down again. And then by the time I was ready to have my evening meal, it was spiked again in my evening meal. And then actually by the time I had a shower and gone to bed, I had another spike. And what I learned through that process, which is really fascinating, was eating much more throughout my workout, eating as soon as I possibly can after that workout, and then just let blood sugar come down until I naturally wanted to go to bed. And I had a much better quality sleep with a lowered blood sugar once I'd already started the replenishment. If I tried to do that before bedtime, I'd have quite a disturbed sleep, and sleep is really, really, really important. So anything you can do to maintain and promote good quality sleep is also going to really help. Okay, another thing I want to just cover quickly, we'll talk about this a bit more next time on the massage front, but is that's the use of EMS and TENS machines, electric muscle stimulating machines. I've kind of had mixed results using these. I like them when you are really exhausted. And the idea of going for a walk or doing a stretch is just too much, and you really just do need to lie down. And things like the Compex machine, I'd say, are pretty good at getting stimulating blood flow. You don't have to do the big muscle building things like the CrossFit crew are into. This is just about stimulating your muscles, but it really doesn't raise your heart rate at all. It's the weirdest thing, having your muscles sort of stimulated for you by an electric machine. But I think in very, very extreme cases where the immediate care is so important, it can be really useful. Now, obviously, I think a sports massage is still massively better, but that's not always accessible, you know, at the end of a race, or, you know, even a few hours afterwards. It's much easier to connect yourself up to an EMS or a TENS machine and get something going in the right direction before you're able to go and get a good quality massage. So it's definitely worth a look. There is so much on the market, and you know, we use Compex. You don't need to spend a fortune on it if it's just for recovery purposes. The more expensive ones tend to be much more about trying to stimulate muscle growth, which as an athlete, we've got better ways of doing that. So and the last one I want to talk about really is the idea of myofascia release, and that is the idea that the body is surrounded by a layer of fascia which kind of binds everything together, and it kind of binds muscle to skin, and if we don't release it, we kind of get this friction. And I think we'll talk about this loads next time, but this is where things like foam rolling, myofascia release balls can really help. I really like the balls around the feet. The foam rolling, again, it's one of those things. I think it's immediate care. It's fantastic, and something that you do as a ritual, like a habit, can be really, really good. They're quite hard to really get your head around and use having a bit of guidance and how to use them and really get the most out of them and really work where they are, which is why we have this mobility and recovery class with Sarah on a Wednesday night, because that is all about how do we use these tools, right? Really effectively use them, because sometimes you get a foam roller and I get it. You're like, is it really meant to feel like that? That's really painful. How do I get into that bit? That bit's hurting. And, you know, so a bit of guidance on that is definitely important. There are loads of YouTube videos about that as well now. Okay. Hydration. Can't believe I've left it this long in the podcast until we started to talk about hydration. But water is super critical to your recovery. It's going to increase your blood volume and therefore increase blood flow. It also is going to be aiding digestion of all those much harder to digest proteins that you're going to need. It's also going to help your liver process some of those toxins, etc. So hydration, just do it. I don't think I need to labour the point in this. We all probably know that hydration is important, but that, yeah, it is. And it's so tempting at the end of a big ride is to grab a cake and a beer, but actual fact, you know, probably a litre of water and and some dried meat is probably better for us, but, you know. So essentially, just to sum up then, what we're trying to do with our recovery is allow our muscles to repair and grow so that we can then train again and continue our building process. But we want to put some effort into it so that our heart rate, etc., does raise, but not so much effort that we add to the cumulative training effect. That's the important thing. So recovery does require some effort, but not in the way that you think. You can't just think, oh, I'm on a rest day. A rest day is not put your feet up and don't do anything. A rest day is when you do your yoga, when you do your foam rolling, when you go and get a sports massage, when you go for a walk, when you do something that is going to increase your mobility, stimulate blood flow, stimulate your respiratory rate, increase your consumption of oxygen and get in there. It's also a time when you've got this additional time where you can make yourself something really healthy and think about nourishing your recovery. Have a really good, well-cooked, with really good, wholesome ingredients meal as well, because that is going to help your recovery. So there we go. Movement, hydration, and oxygenation pretty much sums up what we've been talking about today. I do hope that is useful. We are going to be taking questions in the next podcast. If you've got anything, just please message MapDeck, whoever you message people, we'll pick it up on any one of our messaging channels. It's going to be a Q&A with a sports therapist called Vic, who works with us upstairs in Sports Recovery Kendall. Very highly qualified and experienced sports therapist. And yeah, we're looking forward to getting her input on seeing what it is exactly that a sports therapist can offer the athlete. Because I think we're all guilty of just thinking, oh, I need a massage. But, you know, it's way more complicated than that. And I'm really looking forward to learning an awful lot more about it. And I hope you are too. Until next time, keep riding.